You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
And it is a Wednesday, which means it is time for our World of Work feature. And today we're going to be focusing on employee retention. And I know that for many of you, this will be another topic that will just be too close to home. Many of us are in jobs where you don't necessarily have job security. Maybe you face retrenchment. Maybe you've been told, you know what? You've been a presenter all along. Either we're going to have to let go of you, or you're going to have to be prepared to become the receptionist instead. That's the only way we can still give you employment. How do you deal with that? That's a crisis to deal with. So we sometimes think that it falls on the employer to think about how to retain you in terms of talent attraction and retention, as the literature says. But what can you yourself do to make sure that you are retained, that you are so indispensable to the economic success of wherever you are working that they just cannot afford to disinvest in you? If you have worries, experiences, give us a call on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. We're joined in the studio by the Managing Director of Transcend Talent Management, and the team agreed we have got to find Zanele Luvuno and become firstly her BFF and secondly have her on the show after she called in a couple of weeks ago. I think it was our first or maybe our second installment in this new series. Zanele, thank you so much for honoring the invite and coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
The pleasure is all ours, and I know it's going to be a really, really fascinating discussion that we're going to have. Where should we start with this one?
I think in terms of retention, I think people should understand that I think it sits both on the employer side as well as on the employee side. As an employee, I think it's important to make yourself a sought-after skill. It's not enough to just be able to do the job. The work environment is highly competitive. There's a massive war on talent at the moment, and talent is winning. So before, and especially if you work, I think, in bigger organizations, it's probably easier to be mediocre and nobody really notices or sees, because you know, there's, you pick up the pencil, somebody else does the writing, someone else folds the piece of paper or whatever, you know, it may be. But in smaller environments, people stick out. So I think there's an onus on individuals to make sure that they're making themselves a sought-after skill. Go to conferences, go to trade shows, read trade publications, know what's happening in your industry, not just from a South African perspective, but talent's gone global. We're sourcing people for organizations in South Africa globally, and I'm talking specifically employment equity talent at the moment. The client will say, we need a head of X or a head of Y. Look in London, US, the UAE. Find me a black female. So the people are out there and we're finding them. So while you're sitting here in South Africa thinking, I came to work, I showed up, I got there at 8, I left at 6. Can I get a gold star? There's somebody who's left their entire family behind, gone to study or gone to work, at, you know, at the front of it, in the global markets.
We will come to the employer's obligation in a second, but I think it's nice and unorthodox that we start with what we ourselves can do as employees. And I want to stick on with this for a moment and make it as practical as possible. We all feel aggrieved in the workplace. We are overworked and we are underpaid. So, and I've just worked in the creative industries, small little 12-month stint in corporate and then mostly in an academic institution. So I don't have a lot of personal experiences. That's why I want you to call and tell me about your experiences in the sector where you are working or wherever it is that you are working. But sometimes people will say, no, why should I go the extra mile? Or they will say, oh my God, there's another workshop being scheduled. I'm going to say that I'm busy. I have a dinner tonight with my BFF who's in town from Sweden, and I just can't cancel that to come and listen to someone that's been called in to come and do a workshop on whatever it might be. So it seems as if in a world of work where everyone feels as if their human capital is already squeezed by the capitalist bastards, that why must I go the extra mile to make myself indispensable? They should value me for what I already do according to the existing KPIs.
Well, I'm going to say something which is probably equally unorthodox. In a world where jobs are going to be replaced by machines and bots, people need to dump that attitude. It's just not going to serve them. That is the reality. I went to a global conference. I was in London last week, and they're talking about automating recruitment processes where it's all cognitive and they're no longer hiring based on qualifications or certain experience or match to culture, but purely based on cognitive patterns. So the world is moving, the world is shifting. If you're feeling aggrieved now, what's going to happen when the bots come and take over, to
That's
be simplistic about it?
That's a good point. Yeah.
The reality of the situation is there was no employee engagement survey that was ever done where people said, oh, I earn so much money, I'm so happy with what I earn. And I love my job. I love being at work. I mean, most times people, yes, they can say they love their job, but nobody's ever satisfied with what they earn. But I think an important thing is that people also need to stop taking jobs for job's sake and start matching yourself up with employers that have a value proposition which matches what you're looking for. And for me, that was the other side of the coin, to say since about the early 1990s, companies have started creating what's called the employee value proposition. Mm-hmm. That says, why should you, Eusebius, come and work for me versus my competitor? And not just why should you come and work for me, but why should you do your best work when you're with
sure.
me? So if sure. you go and take a job at a company whose employee value proposition is not matched to you, then you've made an error before you've even began.
One of the ways in which you can increase your chances of being retained and being indispensable is obviously to learn skills you don't currently have,
right.
and to learn a certain amount of agility.
Right.
My industry is actually, the media industry is actually a good case study for this.
Right.
And I think the lesson might also generalize across other industries. You've seen more industries than me because of the work that you do. You find, for example, a journalist that became a journalist in 1960. Before there were smartphones, before there were fancy technologies to do all sorts of interesting recordings and editing and cutting and sound and what have you. And that person in the year 2018 might see themselves as a writer. And yet media companies now want someone who can cut sound, who can do a little bit of video, who can be very deft in how they handle Twitter and Facebook, understand that Zanele doesn't only listen to the radio, if at all. Maybe she only listens to podcasts, for example. Maybe she wants to be engaged in a online written form of a conversation that happened on air. Maybe she will only access the World of Work segment this week, not by listening to the voices of Zanele and Eusebius, but by what someone had put on the digital platform. A lot of workers struggle with what it means to make yourself agile.
Agility is a very, very important part of making yourself more marketable and obviously retention, I suppose, in a particular workplace. I think that
whose duty is it? So in other words, let's say, for example, I don't know what Abel does here. Do I, in order to make myself have as much longevity in the company, ask Abel whether I can shadow him, or do I go to my boss and I say, you know what, you actually need to find some way of enabling me to learn another skill?
So works both ways. I think that individuals need to be proactive and be able to say, look, I need to this basket of skills that I have, I need to keep adding a little bit more in here. I need to learn a little bit more around social media. I need to understand how digital works. I need to understand how, you know, all these external factors influence what I'm currently doing. But most companies are actually introducing, as part of talent retention strategies, what's called cross-functional mobility.
What does that mean in English?
And in English, that basically means, just because I am in marketing right now, it does not mean I cannot go head up a business unit as my next step in the organization. So what that does is that it creates an opportunity for an individual, who shows themselves to be agile, to be able to move from a technology role in the business into perhaps a marketing role into the business, and eventually into heading up a business unit. And it starts to create succession and pipeline, obviously, once you get to the top tier. And it starts to create more opportunities for individuals within the company. So you don't have to wait for, you know, Tom to die because he's been in the job for 20 years and he's not going anywhere before you can move into that particular role.
Yeah.
There's somewhere else for you to be able to go in the organization, but you have to show the interest in that. So when you have your HR interviews, for instance, or when you have FaceTime with your boss, to be able to say, wow, that looks a little interesting. Outside of my core hours or as part of what I'm doing, yes, I'll still deliver on what it is, but could I potentially learn how to do this and add it to my basket of skills?
So in a sense, you've got to be an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. The whole job market is changing. I mean, when you look at where we are now, everybody's focused on, I need a job, I need a permanent job, I need a job that's going to pay my bills. A decade ago, you stayed in a job for 50 years, however long it was, you know, our parents' generation. Our generation, 3 to 5 years in a job, then you make a move. This generation now and where the market is going now, people are moving towards consulting and gigging. The gig economy is going to be huge. Contracting is going to be huge. I'm going to do whatever it is that I do to pay my bills. But
I don't
on the
even
side,
know what it's called. That sounds cool.
The gig economy.
The gig economy.
Yeah, the gig economy
is the
future.
Way cooler than saying you're a hustler. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, 16 minutes after 11. Have you just been told that your company can't retain you? How is that conversation going out? Is it giving you sleepless nights? Do you want some advice around that? And also the flip side of the coin, if you work in HR or if you have a role to retain talent, tell us what your difficulties are, how you handle this. Because on the other side of this break with Zanele, we're going to explore both the attitudes as well as the behavior on the part of the employer. Because sometimes employers tell us certain things, even when we are prepared to be agile, experimental, to learn, to grow, to go the extra mile, even prepared to do some task, not for remuneration, but for the sake of adding to our basket of traits. And you don't always get those opportunities. So let's take a break. Then we'll talk about employers. But if you got questions, 011-883-0702. And if you're in Cape Town on 021-446-0567, we're putting the spotlight on retaining employees.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
So, even though it's costly to have a revolving door of employees, the truth of the matter is, Zanele, that many employers only think about the short term rather than the long term investment in mapping out career paths for their staff, including investing in short courses. Now, I know, and you can say a bit more about this, that people must also be proactive. There are lots of all sorts of funky new age free university and online courses that are generally helpful. Whether or not you get certificated, at least you've got the skill set. Some of them will give you the certificate to go with it. But can we reflect a little bit as well and speak directly to those people in positions of power on the employer side who might be listening to this conversation about really dated behavior on their part?
Look, I think, like I said to you a little bit earlier on, organizations are starting to really be focused around talent and how do you retain talent? Not how do you retain it? How do you attract it? How do you retain it? And how do you make sure that it gives you the best performance while in your employ? And a lot of organizations are actually carving out talent management as a core of their business. The digital age that we're living in now is going to be fueled by clever people, right, who come up with innovative products and solutions that are going to change the world.
Yes.
And so it's all about your talent. Everybody is aware of that now. So there's a massive focus on what to do with your talent in the organization. And these employee value propositions that are being created by organizations are specifically for that. So if I was an individual, I would look to go to organizations that have got a very clear-cut employee value proposition. So I know what kind of an environment that I'm going into. And for organizations that don't have an employee value proposition, it's something that I would say they really need to start looking at. It's been proven that it's a fantastic retention tool in terms of understanding what's happening in your business, the behavior, the patterns that emerge from people that work in your business, the people you're trying to attract, as well as people that have left your business. So I would say EVP, In the same way that you've got a CVP, you've got a customer value proposition. If I am XYZ Telco's giant, I put out to my customers that if you use my network, this is my proposition to you. This is my promise. And I think that it's important for organizations to do the same thing. And it allows candidates to make the right decision about who they're going to join. So let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. Netflix, for instance, has a very interesting value proposition. They say in their value proposition, which is about 120 odd pages long, that very interesting read. They say that if we don't employ people to come and do the, try hard and try their best, okay, if you're going to come here and be mediocre, we will say thank you, shake your hand, give you severance pay, and ask you to leave. Right? We're not interested. We don't want you to try your best. We want you to be the best. Right? So anybody who comes to Netflix knows upfront what kind of an environment they're going into. I mean, I think they even go so far to say is we're not a family. They say we're a team and we're not a kiddies team, a sports team. We're like a professional sports team. Everybody's an athlete. Everybody's got a position and together we win.
But Zanella, sometimes companies will say that and it's spread in the foyer area on the walls as you walk in. And then your experience of the organizational culture plus the behavior of the organization might differ. Suddenly you find out, oh gosh, Eusebius is getting paid more than me. We have the same brain cells, the same levels of charisma. We annoy and enlighten the public equally, but he's getting paid much more than me just on account of the fact that he has a penis. So there's a gender parity that had not in fact been stuck to, even though it says in the beginning of the building, equality is very important, no discrimination, don't enter this door if you are a misogynist. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's very, very different. So then you find yourself 2 years later, 5 years later, you're doing the same job, and there's this resentment that builds up. You've got kids at school, you've got to pay the mortgage, so you're kind of stuck. But of course, the problem for the employer is you are 5 minutes to an exit interview as soon as someone were to snap you up. Why do companies keep getting that wrong when it makes not just ethical sense, when it makes business sense to take retention seriously in the way in which you're talking about?
Because unfortunately, recruitment and the hiring process, there are massive affinity biases. So when I'm hiring, I'm a black female, I'm going to hire somebody who resonates with me, somebody who probably walks in, looks like me, dresses like me, does the kind of things I do on weekends, speaks like me, et cetera, et cetera. So when you look at what South Africa generally looks like, middle management and up, they're white males. So if you're going to be a woman of color, if you're not a straight white male, you're going to have those challenges. And I think it's something that you need to potentially keep in mind. But I think we're starting to see changes. So diversity and inclusion is starting, I think, social media, for instance, has changed the ability and the capability of people that sit inside organizations and perpetuate that kind of thing to keep doing it. So there are avenues available. And unfortunately, for anybody who thinks that it just should be and it should just work, society is just, we're not there yet. It's a fight. It's a fight for all of us. We have to be vigilant about it. And still, till we start to get the critical mass of individuals that look like you and me and make the decisions and formulate the policies, and not just formulate the policies and the values of a business, but actually communicate them and live them in the business.
Important to live
the
them.
Businesses okay. are going to keep looking the way
so
they do.
So let's give companies some advice. The first thing that jumped out at me on my runner, which is a very cool idea, very simple, but provided you live it and don't pay lip service to it, is stay interviews. If you do exit interviews, why are you not routinely checking in with staff as well? Sometimes the first and the last time we interface with HR is at the beginning, and then when we tell them why we are leaving. And maybe if they'd ask us halfway through, dude, you sounding really awesome on air. What can we make sure we do on our part so that you stay?
So
not that I'm leaving, but you know.
So they don't do stay interviews, but they do what's called engagement surveys. So every now and then, once a year or however many times a year, everybody's sent a survey, and some companies are really slick and their app apps and it's on your phone and it's easy to engage and they ask you all the fancy things. What do you think of your boss? Do you love your job? What do you love most about working here? You know, all these things, and then they tell you it's anonymous. But who in heaven's name is going to believe those things are anonymous first and foremost, right? So people don't tell the truth. It's difficult for people to potentially say, you know, I'm in the marketing department of a bank and there's 30 of us in the department and I'm like, well, I don't really like my boss. I think he's lousy, right? To give an example. And then somebody's going to analyze the data and somebody's going to wonder who the one person is. I'm just giving an example. Sure. I think it's just the people don't believe that they really are anonymous. So the engagement surveys are done and they're basically to look at emerging patterns of behavior within organizations to gauge how people feel about the business. And that's what people are using at the moment to manage retention and to manage staff. But the problem with that is it's like when you lose your keys and there's a street light, the first thing you do is you don't go look for where you last saw the keys or where you dropped them. There's a light there, you go look under the street lamp. It's human behavior. And that's what engagement surveys are like. So it is a challenge, but in essence, they are doing stay interviews, but I'm just not sure how effective they are, which is why companies are moving towards EVPs, which are a combination of that. Mm. What do we find out in terms of staff engagement? But then let's look externally as well. So it's a bit like a bit of a marketing survey of sorts.
Okay, let's take a break here. We'll spend 5 more minutes just doing one or two more tips. I'll take Bongiwe's call as well, and then we will wrap it there. If you've just tuned in, we are talking about how to retain talent and what you can do as talent to make yourself being retained, or at least to maximize the chances of that being the case. And if you are an employer or someone in your company entrusted with the duty of talent retention, what are some of the practical things you can do? If you want to squeeze in a quick question, do it very quickly. Zanella is excellent, as you can hear, and she'll do her best to give you advice. 011-883-0702 in Jersey and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. It's 11:30.
Eusebius Makaiser on your number one news and talk station.
25 minutes before noon, the captivating voice you've heard is that of Zanellis Luvuno, who's the Managing Director of Transcend Talent Management. Bongiwe, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Eusebius, and good morning to Ms. Luvuno. And it's so sad when I listen to your interview and I realize that some of the reasons that many of us leave government is the fact that there is no succession planning. HR development starts and ends at when you are employed, and then suddenly there is no, why should you continue working with this department? Mm. And the third and most important point is that we need all these old people to leave government so that we can have a young, vibrant, and dynamic generation of young people who will take service delivery innovation to another level. Mm. And my question finally is, how do we then get all these wonderful ideas, all these wonderful systems that Ms. Luvuno has already explained into an institution as important as government? Thank you very much.
Very good question. Ms.?
Hi. Very good question indeed. I think one of the major challenges that you can have the solution to your question is to bring more people from the private sector into government. So, as opposed to government always looking to hire, people that come from government, but maybe saying, let's hire the guys who come from the FMCG companies. Let's hire the guys who come from telcos or banking or the more innovative industries. The challenge you would then potentially have with that, is that there's no fluidity in the market between government, the private sector and the public sector. You find that people, because of the reputation public sector has, people that work in public sector are not really valued When it comes to the private sector, so it makes it very difficult for somebody to decide to take a chance. Somebody who's sitting inside a listed corporate to decide to take a chance in public sector. But really, that is the bottom line solution. And I've got quite a few state-owned entities at the moment that are actually saying that we do work with, and they're saying at a top-tier level, senior management and up, especially managing exec and executive level, we don't want people that are coming from government anymore. Please go out and headhunt the very best talent for us.
I think we're going to have a full self-standing conversation about government, because I think you've articulated the problem very well, and it seems to be a perennial one with government. They seem to have not just a retention problem, they've got a prior problem, which is an attraction
problem. They've got an attraction problem. And the thing is, when people do take the chance and go to government, the culture, the pace, you're a fish out of water. You're the only person, and I mean, this is obviously a gross generalization, but you're in a department where everybody goes home at like, 16:59, and you're the only person sitting there at 7 p.m. And when you try and ask people to stay longer and give more, sure, people don't necessarily want to do it. And people that come from the private sector get frustrated and they go back.
That's right.
So there's a huge cultural shift that needs to change in terms of government, but that can potentially only really be led 100%. By someone coming from. But look, SAA's done it. So let's see. The current CEO comes out of Vodacom, and Vodacom is highly merit-based. I've done work.
But you need a critical mass of the big workforce inside,
yes,
not just at the top.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to get to a point where a kid graduating with excellent marks in a commerce degree or even
considers government as an option. Absolutely.
And you're not looked down as the friend who is doing, I don't know, who's being a hippie.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
and is taking the easier route out. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Moodley, hello.
Greetings, man. You always bring all the top shot guests there, man.
Look, this is not just a top shot guest. She's a top shot listener. We plucked her from listener status to being a guest in studio.
So next time I win a medal, I'm going to give it to you.
Cheers, Moodley.
Your shows are just too beautiful.
What do you want to share with us, or what do you want to contribute?
I'm one of those old apartheid slaves, you know. I went and worked for 40 years.
Okay.
Right.
And I spent 30 years at my last company. And, they actually paid us 10% more than what the industry paid. That was a good thing, so we never went. And the incentives were always, getting better then. And I don't like this entitlement thing. And, you know, even me, my kids, when they were doing their studies, they were so busy. And I decided I would also study. So I did a completed degree at 38. And I'll tell you what, it makes a hell of a difference in terms of, you know, the way people respect you and the way you can do your job properly. And, it's just a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
But I think there's so much here. This entitlement thing really gets me down. People come there, they think they limit themselves. They actually limit themselves. They cut their own feet out. You know, they don't go and expose themselves. Mm. And I was very lucky in many ways. You know, I worked with one of the best engineers in the world, and even my company, my next company, was voted the number one company in the world to be employed by. So my slavery days are over. That's a nice part.
You left the plantation.
Yeah. Do you have land for us?
Sorry?
Do you have some land for us?
I haven't grabbed any to give you.
You must get on with it, Moodley. Get on with it. Moodley raises, I mean, so there are at least two topics there, Marva, we need to get back to. Can we, in this feature, make the state more sexy for clever people to think about going there? So that's one topic that we can't get into now, Zanella. And the second is Moodley's. I never know whether we are pathologizing the millennials or whether young people nowadays are really truly entitled. But for the moment, what is your reflection on the heart of his comment?
I think that it's I'm not going to comment on millennials and entitlement, but I'm going to shift it a little bit and say we live in an instant gratification, a time of instant gratification. So those are the things that are driving the patterns of behavior that you're seeing.
Yeah.
I don't like what I'm earning today. So give you a little example. You stay in the same company for 40 years. You are going to probably get about 3 to 5% increase per annum, let's say, in terms of your salary. The premium for changing jobs, different companies, is 20%. Why should I stay in the same company for 40 years where I can go to 10 different companies, get 20% times whatever that quantum is, and have twice as much money or three times as much money as you would? So I think it's also different drivers, and wanting to really just isolate the millennial behavior, because I think that's a topic all on its own. Yeah. But just to say, we're living in an instant times of instant gratification. I've got options. People have more options. Options are available. But options are accessible. And so those are the dynamics that you're dealing with.
Absolutely. Someone's asking, who's that excellent woman that you have there on your show? Haman. How many times must I say her name? Zanele Luvuno, Managing Director of Transcend Talent Management. What is your website?
www.transcend.co.za.
You've been excellent. Are you going to come and play again?
I love playing with you. Please invite me to come and play again.
It's a date.
Awesome.